Friends, we'd invite you at this time, if you brought a Bible or you'd like to open your pew Bible, our second scripture reading for today comes from the New Testament. We're reading the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 24, reading verses 1 through 12. These will be familiar words, I suspect, for most of us, but either way, let us turn our attention to these words that we might hear God's word to us today. Luke writes, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, now for just a moment, grant us the opportunity to see as Peter did that morning. May we too wonder what has happened in this mysterious and glorious display of your power. Open our hearts and our minds. Be near to us as we now experience the hope and promise of resurrection again. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, no surprise, you know this, Easter in the church is the high holy day. That's actually what it's called in church literature. It is the day on the calendar that sanctuaries are filled even to overflowing. Thank you for your patience in the narthex. It is the day where we're surrounded with children. It is a great day. It is the foundation of Christianity, and every year as Easter approaches, I sit with the Easter text trying to prepare, and I'm surprised again. This is the biggest event. This is the story on which the whole faith hangs. And you would think, because of that, that all of the Easter stories would line up, that they'd give the same details. But that's not the case. They don't. In fact, they're pretty different. Different lists of who went to the tomb, whether there were angels, how many, what those angels said, whether there was an earthquake or not, whether they see Jesus there, and if so, what he said to them, what the centurion said when Jesus was on the cross, what Jesus said when Jesus was on the cross, even the date of Easter moves. Unlike Christmas, that we have assigned a time, a day, Easter is relative to the season. There's a lot of looseness in Easter that most people don't consider.
And that is, if you're going to be honest, one of the most fascinating parts of the faith, because you think Resurrection Day, the foundation, would have the most clarity. You think all of the details would be worked out. You think everything would be nice and sequential. But fascinatingly, this is one of those stories filled with the mystery of God's power. If we're going to be honest here in this sanctuary, people not in the sanctuary, those who are not people of faith, will turn to Easter, Resurrection Day, as one of their prime places of criticism for the faith. They point out that ultimately these details don't line up and that this actually speaks against the credibility of the faith. But from inside the sanctuary, we find that the mystery of Easter, The fact it can't be neatly pinned down, the fact it can't be easily summed up. We find that to be an amazing reflection of people who saw death conquered. I want to ask you for a second. If you went to the tomb and saw the place where you expected your Lord and Savior to have died, and you suddenly saw him alive, would you give yourself a little bit of credit if things went fuzzy for a moment? That is a shocking reality. It twists the world into a place that we never thought possible. And that's the power of the mystery. The point is not how and what happened that day so we can get it nailed down like a CSI investigation. No, the point of the Easter story, the reason it was written and given to us, is to tell us the tomb was empty. He wasn't there. He's alive. And everything that follows that is this powerful reminder that now we're living off the map. The things that we thought we knew, we now have to come back to. Because if the story of Easter is true, this strange and stunning and incredible story, then everything has changed.
In the Gospel of Luke, that Michael read just a moment ago, you may have caught it, which, by the way, Luke just says women. He doesn't really even count them, doesn't bother with some of their names. The women went to the tomb. They found it empty. They expected a body and didn't find it. And then two men, not one, but two, dazzling in white light, show up before them and they're terrified. And the men ask one of the great lines in the Easter stories, why do you look for the living among the dead? And they, the first people to ever do so, hear the proclamation of Easter. And they run back to where the 11 remaining disciples are. And they tell the disciples, they tell them this news, they tell them this thing. And did you catch it? They did not believe them, for their words seemed like nonsense. Now, the word nonsense in Greek can also be translated folly, but it has an edge to it. And the rough translation is a word many of us might use that I'm not going to use here. It's a two-syllable word. The first is bull, and the second gets your mouth rinsed out with soap. Peter ran back to see what happened, but they thought it was nonsense. That's the reaction to the first Easter sermon ever preached. And it came from the disciples. The same guys who would later tell the stories, write the books, preach the gospel, and die because of it. And if you ever doubt how wild the Easter claim is, remember that the first people who rejected it were the first Christians. Even the disciples didn't buy it. Disbelief started in the church. This incredible thing that happened strained the minds and the hearts of even the men who had lived and traveled and worked with Jesus. They had heard him preach. They had seen him heal. They had watched him walk on water. And they had seen him call the dead to life. And even they couldn't get Easter. When those 1, 2, 3, 5 women came running from the tomb, breathless and excited, shouting, "He is alive!" The disciples thought they were nuts.
If we're going to be honest, friends, we've been there. If we've taken Easter seriously, even people who have been people of faith for a long time, we've taken it seriously and engaged it and thrown ourselves into it, we know that this story is full of mystery and it demands that we address something that is beyond our ability to line up, to make perfect sense of. If we need Easter to be wrapped up tight, then it's going to elude us. Because the bad news for us is it's not easily containable. It's messy and wonderful and crazy, mysterious and shocking. And it gives us the same choice that Peter had that day. Did you know this? He kept wondering. I love that. the man who followed Jesus, the man who tried his best to be a person of faith and to understand the lordship of that man, he was wondering, could it be true? Because it's not an equation to be solved or a problem to be understood. It's not a code to be cracked. It's a promise wrapped in the mysterious life even beyond death. We have a Savior who gave his life for us, who was punished for a sin that was not his own, who was set free from this life so that we might experience that same freedom. And this gives us a kind of hope for the life beyond. Have you ever heard someone talk about the circle of life, right? The idea that you're born and then you die and the cycle continues, right? What's at stake this day? Is that the only circle? Is that it? Is it that we're born and then we die and then it's over? The Easter story is that that circle has been broken, that God has broken into the world, that the circle is bigger than what we can see, that God is alive and at work, and that the resurrection story is the true story, that when we see what God is about and trying to do in the world, that that is the biggest story that explains our lives and everything that happens in them.
This year, in a kind of personal way, the Easter story has been on my mind. My mom passed away recently, and I have been to literally hundreds of funerals, but this time as an insider. The planning, the preparation, the graveside. And every funeral, I think, asks us, what do we believe? But this year, I find myself more conscious of the choice given to us by Easter. More comforted by the idea of grace and forgiveness and life and hope and resurrection. It's a little more real to me in some ways, I think. And I find that when I focus on those things, I don't find myself troubled by the details, by the differences. Because I think that I see in those moments that at its heart, Easter is really about that single choice. Did Jesus get up and live? If so, all the rest is interesting. Well, it's not particularly important. If Easter happened, then that's enough. I'm not bothered that it takes different stories to try and report it. I'm not bothered that it is remembered different ways by different people. Doesn't particularly trouble me that the details all don't line up in nice, tight order. Because as I imagine what Easter means, I don't imagine that it can be captured or contained in some pages, in some stories. And I'm okay with that. If I'm being honest, I actually think I prefer that because it leaves some room for mystery. It leaves some room for wonder. It leaves some amazement. And as Michael said, I'm learning that I like the big circle better.
Friends, Easter's not just about the ending. It has something to do about our entire lives. Because Easter provides direction for the living. I know that you know this, but needs said on Easter. Jesus spent way more time teaching us about how to live in this life than he did teach about the hope and promise of resurrection. Because resurrection is this constant hope. It draws us forward out of our small world into God's big world. But it's always about moving us forward in the life that we live. This mystery that we call Easter, it protects us from being too heavenly minded and no earthly good. Resurrection's a glimpse into the future for the purpose of helping us learn how to live today. Because friends, you know the story. You know God's bigger story, so now you can live that story today. It's the very, very reason why Christians are people who believe that self-giving is more important than greed, that love is greater than anger, that at the end of the day, peace will silence violence. We live with those values today because we believe those are God's answer for the forever. Every day that we make choices, we choose between the values of a world without the resurrection in that small world and the big world that God has given us in Easter. Resurrection helps us to see that God's plan is bigger. And this very thing that our world calls nonsense is the very thing that gives our world shape and meaning. It's the large circle we live in. It's God's resurrection circle we're called to embody. And friends, the thing I want to leave you with today is very simple. When they left the tomb that day, Peter wondered. He wondered what it meant. And then there came a time when he stood before a crowd and he had the words to describe what he believed. That is our calling. To see the resurrection, to see the hope and promise of Easter for it to change us, and then to be witnesses of that to a world that needs it for themselves. There may be no better evidence for Easter morning than when the followers of Jesus Christ live their lives in the truth and they share it with others with joy and humility. When others see the truth in what we do and say, they catch a glimpse of the resurrected power of God in us. So very simply, you, each and every one of you, no matter how you got here and no matter where you plan to go, you go and be witnesses to the reminded promise, the mystery, the sacred gift of this day, that death has been conquered, that we can see life even in the midst of death. And like those disciples of old, it is our job to share and tell others of the hope we've discovered in the empty tomb. Thanks be to God. Amen.